نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, in the verse that I've recited before you, Allah says that I have not created the jinn, neither have I created men, except that they worship me. They make my ibadah. So this verse states that the primary purpose, the primary objective behind the creation of man was that they should worship Allah, make the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most fundamental form of ibadah are the pillars of Islam, without which there can be no religion. So salah, fasting, zakat, hajj, etc. But the discharge of these fundamentals is not sufficient to fulfill the objective of our creation. If the objective of behind our existence and creation is the ibadat of Allah, then there has to be much more than simply worshipping Allah through salah, through zakah, through fasting, through hajj. Because if you look at the time we have, the daily five salah, they do not take more than 1 hour of the day. If you combine the five salah, they do not take more than 1 hour a day. Which means that discharging of our salah takes 5% of 24 hours. How do we worship Allah in the 95% of the day? In the same way, if you look at zakah or fasting, fasting takes place in 1 month of the 12 months of the year. 1 out of 12. How do we worship Allah for the 11 months outside the month of Ramadan? Zakah is the same. Zakah is payable on a person who owns the nisab, and that is once a year. How do we execute and how do we view earning and spending our wealth outside that one instance of giving zakat? And in the same way, hajj is an obligation once a year, once a lifetime, and only on those that can afford it. So if the purpose of our life is to worship Allah, how do we worship Allah for the better part of our lives? Outside salah, outside zakah, outside fasting and hajj. That alone cannot equate to the better part of our lives. If salah, performing salah takes 5% of our 24 hours, and Allah says, you've been created primarily for the worship of Allah. then how do we worship Allah in the 95% of the 24 hours? What does ibadah and worship mean? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith says that whoever relieves a believer from some kind of anxiety or grief in this world, Allah will relieve an anxiety and grief from him on the day of Qiyamah. And whoever alleviates the difficulty of a needy person who cannot pay his debt, Allah will alleviate his difficulties on the day of Qiyamah. And whoever conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in this world and the year after. Now in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has expanded the definition of ibadah. So when you are helping someone in difficulty, you are worshipping Allah. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِي. That Allah is at your assistance as long as you're assisting someone else. So Allah has linked helping someone, extending a helping hand to a person in difficulty, to a reward in this world and in the year after, thus expanding the definition of ibadah. So if you extend a helping hand to someone, you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are feeding a hungry person, you are worshipping Allah. Allah asked a question in a surah that we all read. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen one who belies the judgment? One who belies the life hereafter, who belies accountability, who belies the very notion of deen. Allah says, what are his attributes? فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمُ وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. He repels, he chases away the orphan, and he does not encourage feeding the poor. Again, feeding the poor and showing compassion to fellow men, it forms the essence of ibadah, the essence of worship. So if we are showing compassion, displaying compassion to someone, we are in the worship of Allah. If we are feeding a hungry person, we are in the worship of Allah. When we discharge our obligations and rights, when we discharge our obligations and commitments, we are actually worshipping Allah. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, awfu bil'uqood. O you believe, fulfill your commitments. Fulfill your undertakings. Fulfill your obligations. That is an integral part of deen. If you say someone, I will meet you at 5 o'clock, that's a commitment. Fulfilling that commitment is worshipping Allah. If you say, I will pay you on this day, payment on that particular day is an act of worship. And if we don't pay on the promised date, we are falling short in our worship. In the same way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. Do not belittle any act. وَلَوْ أَنْ تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِيبٍ. Even if you have to meet your brother with a smile. A smile is an act of ibadah. A smile is worship. In the same way, when you speak respectfully to someone, it is an act of worship. Allah says, اُغْدُدْ مِنْ سَوْتِكَ. Lower your voice. Do not scream. Inna ankara al-aswat la sawtul hamir. that when you raise your voice, the most detestable sound is the braying of an ass. So don't raise your voice. When you subdue your voice, when you're angered, that's an act of worship. In the same way, sometimes we are overtaken by anger. Allah describes the muttaqeen as wal-kathimeen al-ghayz, those who suppress their anger. Suppressing your anger is an act of worship. Likewise, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that showing good conduct, being kind to your wife, is an act of worship. He said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. The best of all of you sitting here are those that are best to their wives. Look at the definition of the best person in the eyes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, the best of you are those that are best to your wives. وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ. And I am the best of you when I regarding the treatment of my wives. That is an act of worship. Saying no to bribery or corruption is an act of worship. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الرَّاشِي وَالْمُرْتَشِي. Allah's curse is on the one who offers the bribe and one who takes the bribe. Again, Allah, look at the definition, look at the scope of what ibadah is. So when we talk, when Allah says that I have not created you but for my worship, salah takes 5% of our day. 95% is how we deal with people, how we treat people, how we talk to people, how are we discharging our obligations to our children, to our spouses, to our neighbors, to our employers, to our employees. All of this makes up the definition of ibadah. And therefore, if you look at the Quran, out of more than the 6,000 verses in the Quran, 500 verses in the Quran deal with law, deal with what is permissible and what is not permissible, deal with the rights of halal and haram. Less than 10%. 90% of the Quran speaks about development of character. 90% of the Quran talks about Islamic values, about your relationship with Allah, with people, with your seniors, with your juniors, with those that you employ. And that makes up the greater part of ibadah, is your character, your personality. Only 500 verses deal with law. The rest deal with values in the Quran. And that develops, and that is a muttaqi, one who is consciously living his life in accordance with the dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at the history of Islam, people were not attracted to Islam because of those 500 verses that spoke about salah, hajj, zakat, etc. But they were attracted to Islam because of the values of Islam, the character that they displayed. Look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. My primary mission as a Nabi was to refine the character of people. My primary mission as a Nabi was to refine the character of people. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best among you is the best in character. That's the yardstick. That is the criteria, how you speak to people, how you deal with people, how you treat people. If you look at the expansion of Islam in Southeast Asia, for example, there was no jihad in places like Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines. How did Islam come there? How is it that Indonesia has the largest percentage of Muslims in the world today? In the same way, if you look at West Africa, for example, Mali, Mauritania, how did Islam come there? It was because of the businessmen who undertook these travels, these journeys, and the locals started interacting with these Muslim businessmen and said, there's something different in your values. There's something that stands out in terms of how honest you are, how just you are in your business. And that is how the entire face of Mali changed and became the seat of Islamic civilization. That we had the famous king, Mansa Musa, in Mali, who built masjids, and the entire Islamic civilization then spread purely because of the conduct of Muslim businessmen. People looked at their honesty. You know, during the time of the Sahaba, a non-Muslim came to a Sahabi and said, I'm in desperate circumstances. I need to sell my horse. So the Sahabi asked him, how much do you want for your horse? So he gave a price. He says, let me ride it to see how it performs. So the Sahabi took it for a ride and came back. And he told this non-Muslim that you have undercharged, you are undercharging me. Your horse is far more valuable than the price you want. So this person was surprised. And he says, but what drives you to this kind of attitude? He says, my Nabi has taught me not to exploit vulnerable people. He says, I will pay you far more than you want. And at that point, this person declared the Shahada. He says, if this is Islam, I want to be a Muslim. And there are many examples where people embrace Islam purely by the conduct of Muslims around them. There's an incident written about, I think it was written by Dr. Hamidullah, who was staying in Paris many, many years ago. He was among the very early Muslims living in Paris. And he's talking about how the first people embrace Islam in Paris. He says a non-Muslim went to a Muslim businessman to buy a loaf of bread, and there was an advertised price. So the Muslim says that I cannot charge you the advertised price. I have to charge you far less than the advertised price. So this person was surprised. He says, because the price that you see is for a fresh loaf of bread. The stock I have is from yesterday. And therefore, I cannot charge you the price of a fresh loaf of bread. Immediately that person asked him, why? Where do you get these values from? And said, I'm a Muslim. And that person embraced Islam. That is the power, that is the ibadah that the verse is talking about, that I've created you so that you worship me. So you live the values of a Muslim. So whether people look at you, they could see that this is an individual of integrity, justice, compassion. Where are these attributes in the Muslim community? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to live our Islam, to live the character that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to say, that I've been sent to refine the character of humankind. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. There's one important announcement, and that is on Wednesday,